Can God protect you from the fire, yes or no? Ladies and gentlemen, some of you, I know, you're going through fire now. You're undergoing trials. Perhaps you have problems. But can I tell you something? Your security is the presence of Christ. Our theme is truth over trends. What does it mean? Truth over trends. You see, a lot of people today are influenced by culture. The problem with trends, they come and go. It's like fashion. It's like what is popular today. They come and go. But what will not come and go is what? Truth. How do you develop conviction in the lives of young people today? I want to introduce to you three young men that is seldom discussed in the Bible. Their name is Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Let's look at the background of this story. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, almost 10 story high. It's a big statue, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Dura is a few miles away from Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, everybody read together with me. What did he do? He sent word to assemble a description of the hierarchy of the leadership team of Babylon, starting with satraps, prefects, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image. What's the purpose? The purpose is for all of them to bow down and worship. That is the culture that he wants to impose on everybody. Just like today, our young men, young women, including yourself, are being influenced by culture, subconsciously or consciously. They want to influence us. And the idea is this: if you don't worship what King Nebuchadnezzar built, a statue, he wanted to unify the nation, he wanted to unify their culture, there's penalty. You know what's the penalty? Here's the penalty. Let's read together. You are to fall down, worship the golden image. Read verse 6. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. Do you understand the penalty? It's death. Today, the penalty may not be death. They'll make fun of you. You may lose your job. You may be ostracized. But it's the same thing. There's a trend that's going on today for us to accept the values of the world. If you don't accept their values, they will cancel you. That's why you have the cancel culture. How do you make a stand? Well, let's look at these three young men. What did they do at the risk of their lives? Let's read together. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, everybody read. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Do you understand the heart of the king? The king loved these young men because they are very smart and they are so useful to society. So the king did not want them to die. So the king is giving them a chance. Now, if you are Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what will you do? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter." It's a very polite way of saying, our mind is very made up. We know what we're going to do. If it be so, everybody read, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Their confidence was in God, but their faith was not presumptuous. Their faith is complete. Let's read. Even if he does not, everybody say that with me. Even if he does not, let it be known to you, O King, we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So my message to you today is, what kind of faith should you develop? Everybody? But if not, faith. The outline today is very simple. What is the meaning of but if not faith? It is authentic. But if not faith is genuine, real faith. Not superficial, not commercial, not convenient, but genuine, real faith. Number two, it is centered on who God is, not on what you want him to do. Number three, it is triumphant faith. That's why the acronym is ACT, ACT. Real faith will act properly. Now, who are these three young men? Well, the Bible tells us for sure they are young. What's my proof? I'll show you. Here's the background. Daniel chapter 1, together. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Meaning, King Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem to conquer Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us what happened. Read the next verse. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. In short, Jerusalem was conquered. The king became captives. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Bible, it was not King Nebuchadnezzar who conquered Jerusalem. It was God's permission. In short, whatever is happening to your life, I want you to know something. It is with God's approval. Amen? Now, let's continue reading. How do I know they are young people? The king ordered the chief to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of nobles, youth in whom was no defect. In short, they were young people. They were of nobility. It is possible they live in palaces. But I want you to imagine now. Imagine, once upon a time, you live in comfortable places, and now you are a prisoner. King Nebuchadnezzar is very smart. He wanted to get the best young people in the land they conquered and to brainwash them, to train them. Look at what it says here. Who had ability for serving the king's court? Everybody read. He ordered him to teach them what? The literature and language. He wanted to brainwash them. He was so amazingly effective. You know why? He wanted to change their names. Let's look at the Bible. Among them, from the sons of Judah, you have Daniel, continue, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please read. The commander of the officials assigned new names to them. To Daniel, he assigned the name Belshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. Why do you want to change the names of these young people? Because you want to change their concept of who they are. It's called identity. from the Hebrew names describing who God is, they want now to brainwash them to change their culture, to change their religion, to change their faith. The name Daniel, from the Hebrew word, Daniel, El is God, God is my judge, let's change them now to Belshazzar, meaning Bel, the highest God in the Babylonian culture is Bel. So change the name. Hananiah, the Lord shows grace, is now changed to Shadrach. Shadrach means what? Command of Aku. Who is Aku? The moon god. You see, they worship the moon gods, all kinds of gods. And then the name Mishael, now change it to Mishak, meaning who is as Aku is. Then the name Azariah, the Lord is my help. Change that to Abednego, servant of Nego, the God of wisdom. Why is it so crucial to change their identity? My friend, who you think you are is going to impact the way you make decisions. Who you are is crucial. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were going to be brainwashed, but they did not allow themselves to be brainwashed. So that, my friend, is the background of these three young men. Their faith was authentic. Now, what do I mean by authentic faith? The word authentic means what? Genuine. Authentic means what? Real. Authentic means what? Something that is true, right? What is the opposite of authentic faith? Counterfeit. Now, I will not tell you modern English. It's called commercial faith. It's transactional faith. Lord, you will be my God if... it's transactional. It's based on convenience. It's a faith that bargains with God. What's my proof? Example. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego was telling the king, King, my God can deliver me. I know who he is. But if he does not deliver me, we will still serve him. What is but if not faith? Even if not. My friend, look at Jacob. In Genesis 28, you have the story of shallow faith. Once upon a time, maybe your faith is like mine, shallow. We need to grow. It may not be counterfeit, but it's baby faith. It's called commercial faith. Let's read this together. Jacob made a vow. God, if God will be with me, condition number one, and if God will keep me on this journey, condition number two, that I take and will give me food, condition number three, and garments to wear, ang babaw ng kaligayahan ni Jacob. And then, and I return to my father's house in safety, commercial, ah? Then, what? Then, the Lord will be my God. It's called a negotiated faith. You do this, and I will make you my God. Commercial. Yes or no? Look at the next verse. Look at Jacob's mind. And of all that you give me, Lord, if you really bless me, I will surely give you what? 10%. You know, you may be laughing at Jacob, but I'm going to ask you, are you guilty of that? I know of singles. Lord, if you will allow this girl to really marry me, let her marry me, and I will serve you. Is that possible? Oh, ladies, maybe you will say, Lord, if you will let that man propose to me and he will be my husband, then I will serve you. Is that possible? Lord, if you heal my daughter, if you heal my son from cancer, then I will serve you. Is that possible? Are you bargaining with God? You know how you bargain with God? Your faith has to grow. You don't really know God. What kind of faith God wants you to have? But if not, say that with me. But if not, I will still serve you. Example of that kind of faith. Look at Job. You know, Job lost everything. I don't know about you. The Bible tells us Job was one of the richest men at that time. He lost all of his possessions. And worst of all, he lost all of his children. The Bible tells us Job had 10 wonderful children. You know, I look at my own self. I don't think I can survive. In one day, you lose everything. In one day, all of your children are taken away. Can I tell you what Job did? Job was a man, a normal man, but his faith was real. Not commercial, not counterfeit. Let's read this together. Job fell down to the ground. He worshiped God. My goodness, after hearing everything, the Bible tells us, he fell down. He worshiped. What did he say? Everybody read. Naked, I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. What Job is saying, I was born with nothing. And when I die, I cannot take anything with me. Continue. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Wow. Everybody read. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Such faith is something that only God can provide. Study the book of Job, because God blessed Job at the end of his life. Double. Imagine, at the end of his life. What is faith? Faith that is genuine, is authentic. You trust God no matter what. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many people today, you are angry at God. You know why you're angry at God? Because God has not answered your prayer. And you are negotiating with God up to today. That kind of faith is not biblical. It's called commercial. You want a Santa Claus. You want to bargain. God cannot be bargained with. He is God. He's not man. And the best example is Jesus. You know, when Jesus was about to die on the cross, Jesus appealed to God. He said, Lord, if possible, don't let me die on the cross. You see, it's okay to express your desire. Lord, if possible, don't let me suffer on the cross. But, not my will, but thine. What's my proof? Look at what the Bible tells us. My Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not my will, but thine. Friends, how is your faith? Do you think your faith needs to grow? Yes or no? I want to encourage you. Do not remain shallow. You must say, but if not, I will still serve you. You will still be my God. You see, the Bible commands us to grow. In what? You'll be surprised. To grow in the knowledge of God. To grow in the knowledge of His grace. First Peter. It's a command. Why? I discover your faith cannot grow apart from knowing God more and more. If you don't know God, whatever I'm going to tell you is impossible. How can you trust God when He takes away everything? How can you still trust Him? Unless you really know Him, you trust Him. Number two, centered on who God is. Notice, it is centered not on circumstances, not on people, not on events, but on who? Who God is. Look at Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied to the king, "O king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer." It's a very polite way of saying, our mind has made up. Let's read together. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us." In other words, they believe that God is omnipotent. God can deliver impossible situations. They say, God can do it. "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace, and He will deliver us." God will and God can. But they don't stop, because their faith is not based on what God will do based on their desire. It's based on who God is. So, they continued. Everybody read. "But," everybody say, "but even if He does not," you see, "but if not, no matter what, let it be known to you, O King," let's read together, "we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Ladies and gentlemen, the object of your faith is never on feeling. It's never on circumstances. It's never on people. Because people will fail you. People will disappoint you. The object of your faith is on who God is. Now, let me ask you a question. According to your understanding of the Bible, what does it mean to put your faith in God? I suggest to put your faith in God involves the following. To trust God, who God is, put your faith in who God is, you must trust, everybody read, trust what? Trust His character. Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe God is faithful? Yes or no? All right. Number two, do you believe in God's wisdom? That God is omniscient? That God knows what is best for us? Yes or no? Do you believe that God will fulfill His promises? Yes or no? Problem is this, you don't even know His promises. You have not read the Bible. You need to study the Word of God. No shortcut. If you are sincere in believing who God is, believing that God is real, if I were you, I will waste no time but to study the Bible. I read the Bible every day, almost every day. You see, the Bible is God's self-revelation to you and to me. Now, do you believe that God has all power? Now, do you believe that God loves you? Yes or no? Yes. Now, listen to me. If you believe that God knows everything, and that God loves you, and that God wants what's best for you, why not trust Him? Unless you don't trust Him. And the reason you don't trust Him, you don't know Him. You are not convinced that God loves you. You are not convinced He knows what's best for you. My friend, faith in God is not faith in your feelings. It is not faith in yourself. Some of you are struggling. You know why you struggle with obedience? Because in your mind, you know better than God. I have learned in my life, I've made lots of mistakes. And as I reviewed my life, it's always when I move ahead of God, when I don't obey God, when I take shortcuts. Do you believe God is good? Yes. Louder. Yes. How do you know? Taste and see. You see, many of you have religion. You have not encountered Jesus. That's why you don't know He is good. I, once upon a time, encountered religion, not Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, for me, I believe that God is good. What about you? God is really good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Notice, blessed. You know, the word blessed comes from the word happy, fortunate, the best of the best, if you put your faith in God. What else can we learn about God? Look at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, meaning reverence Him, prioritize Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. Why? Everybody read. Those who fear, those who reverence, those who prioritize God, there is no want. Meaning, you will lack nothing. What is the meaning of you lack nothing? Let's read the next verse. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Everybody now read, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. You will not lack any good thing. What you lack is not good for you. But what is good, you will not lack. Amazing reality. My friend, my faith in God is that He will make the best decision for my life. It is no longer what I want. It's what He wants. And that is where you need to be. Your faith has to grow so that no matter what, you will keep trusting God. The day will come someday when you get disappointed with life. Perhaps your career, sickness, death, whatever it is. Satan will tempt you. You see, God is not good. Can I tell you something? God loves you. Faith in God is faith in who He is, not in circumstances. Let's read this together. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, what is faith? Number one, he who comes to God must believe that God is. You must believe that God is God. He's all-powerful. But that's not enough. You must believe that not only God is God, He is a rewarder to those who seek Him. Do you believe in your heart that God is good, that God will reward you? Yes or no? The only problem is this. The reward that God will reward you, you don't always know. But it's always going to be the best. So He gave an example, lots of examples in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. He talks about different kind of heroes of faith. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. You see, real faith is anchored on who God is. Noah had no idea what is a flood. But he believed. He obeyed. Abraham had no idea when God told him, you leave your country, I will make you a great nation. He had no idea. But Abraham believed. Understand? So faith is active. It's centered on who God is and His promises. Now, this is the amazing thing. Let's read. All of these people died in faith without receiving the promises. In other words, when God gives a promise, they believe. Yet they died without receiving the promise. Think about it. Then the book of Hebrews continued. He described what faith could accomplish. By faith conquered kingdoms, acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quench the power of fire. Is there referring to who? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But notice, the Bible talks about what? All of this gained approval. They pleased God through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised. You see, faith is centered on who God is. What He will do, you entrust that to Him. When He will fulfill the promises, you entrust that to Him. But notice, the Bible tells us, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they, referring to the men of faith, would not be made perfect. You know what He's talking about? He's talking about the ultimate promise, which is the coming of Jesus. How do I know the book of Hebrews is talking about the ultimate promise, the coming of Jesus? Because the next verses talks about Jesus. You see, faith is active. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Who are these witnesses? Chapter 11. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Samson, all of these witnesses. You see, I've seen their faith. What must you do? This is your part. Genuine faith. Lay aside. Anything that is slowing you down today, you must lay aside. Because faith is an active word. You trust God, you obey Him, you run the race. And then what must you do? Fix, everybody read. Fix our eyes on who? On Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. The only way for your faith to grow, get to know Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, not on people, not on your boyfriend, not on your company, not on your work, but on Jesus. Amen? All right. So, what is triumphant faith? Triumphant faith is amazing. No matter what happens, you can claim this amazing promise. Everybody read. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Why can you be sure? The reason why you can be sure is you read the next few verses. Example, what shall we say to all of these things? Everybody read. If God is for us, who is against us? Nebuchadnezzar against you? The government against you? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up over for us. Everybody read. How will He not with Him freely give us all things? God is telling you today, I love you. I want you to know God is speaking to you. I love you. I prove it by giving my Son for you. If I give you my Son, will I not give you anything that is good for you? Answer, of course. But why do we not obey Him? Because in your mind, God is not good. The only reason why people don't obey God is at the back of your mind, you think it is not best. That's why many of you have shallow faith. You know, Daniel chapter 3 tells us, all right? What is the meaning of triumphant faith? Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. You believe that God is able, but at the same time, you must believe that God may not always do what you want Him to do. So, even if He does not, real faith is not presumptuous. It is surrender. I believe in God, no matter what. You know, the Bible tells us King Nebuchadnezzar got so angry. He got so angry, the Bible tells us, he made the fire so hot. It was so hot, the people who carried Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they even died before they entered the fire. They died before they could throw the body. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of fire. My friend, I want you to imagine now, you are Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You are now tied. What will you be praying? Lord, 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 please, 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 please let the fire go away, Lord. I'm sure you are praying, Lord, 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 please. Am I correct? If you are normal, I'm normal. So I will pray, Lord, Lord, knock off. You know, sometimes I realize something. God can prevent you from entering the fire. But many times He will, what? Allow you to go through the fire. Yan ang problema. When He allows you to go through the fire, what's going to happen? Well, you know, remember, even if I go through the fire, you know, Nebuchadnezzar got the shock of his life. Was it not three men? Isn't it there are three of them? What did Nebuchadnezzar see? He saw what? Let's read. I see how many men? I see four men. Oh, loose and walking in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like who? The son of the gods. Theologians call this theophany. When God encounters man in a human form, you see this throughout the Old Testament. When God appeared as a man in front of Joshua, who is that person who appeared like a man? They call that Jesus pre-incarnate. Joshua bowed down to the angel, to the commander. When Moses saw the burning bush, the Bible tells us the voice came out of the fire. The angel spoke. Who was that angel? You know what the angel said? Wherever you are standing, holy ground, remove your shoes. And Moses worshiped. Angel will not accept worship unless that angel is none other than Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells us, you know what happened? Amazing. When the king got these three men to get out of the fire, this is what's so amazing, okay? Everybody read. The fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was their hair, what? Nor was the hair of their head singed. Nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Can God protect you from the fire, yes or no? Ladies and gentlemen, some of you, I know, you're going through fire now. You're undergoing trials. Perhaps you have problems. But can I tell you something? Your security is the presence of Christ. Amen? Is God with us? Yes. Therefore, what's the good thing? The good thing is God was glorified. I make a decree to anybody, to any nation. Here was the king, Nebuchadnezzar. He's now making a decree. What is the decree? My goodness. According to him, everybody read, there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. He glorified the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. What good thing came out of this? The Bible tells us Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego prospered in God's time. Will you please read this verse? When you pass through the fire, through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. I've asked my wife to come here to share with us what this verse meant to her and to me.
Peter and I and our family had always prayed for God's protection over our family. And we claimed the promise in Psalm 91 that no evil will come near your tent or near your dwelling. And we felt so protected by God. But on that night, 1992, after we were teaching a Bible study in Makati, many of you know what happened. We came home. It was the darkest night of our life. We found out that our daughter had been raped by seven men, that our children had been tied up on the floor and threatened to be killed if they moved. And I broke into tears and I said, God, why my daughter? Why not me? But you know, Satan is an opportunist. We had to drive down to pick up our daughter, to be with our daughter and kids in a dormitory of the Faith Academy. And on the way down, this thought went into my brain. Why will you follow God? He did not protect your daughter. He did not answer your prayers. Why don't you just turn away? And Peter and I were silent, but I found out later the same thought was in his brain. You see, Satan wants to use tragedy to make us turn away from God. But at the same time, I'm thinking, but God, where would I go if I turn away from God? He's my life. He's my love. So these thoughts were going back and forth. And then God spoke to me. And he said, Deanna, will you trust me that I will use this rape for good? Will you trust me? And I thought, what? Rape? I'd never thought of putting rape in. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him. But you know, I was crying and I said, God, how? He said, just trust me. And that night, by God's grace, he enabled me to make a decision to trust him. This is what I said. I know you are a God who does not lie, and you keep your promises. So I will claim Romans 8:28 for our daughter. I entrust her to you, and I will hold on to you until I see the promise. So that was a but even if not faith that we had to practice that night. And Peter made the same decision on his own. So when we got to our daughter, we hugged her, we cried together, and I slept all night hugging her. And then the next day, this is what really comforted me. She came to us and said, Mom and Dad, I know that God is sovereign and he could have stopped the rape, but he didn't. But I also know that God loves me. And because he loves me, I will trust him. That is the but if not faith that even a girl at 15 years old had, because she knew her God who loved her. And all of you youth who are here today, this is Youth Month. I want to tell you, God loves you, and whatever you're going through, you trust him with a but if not faith. Because when we do, we surrender our circumstances to him, and then God is going to use that as a blessing. You see, the next day when I was reading my Bible, and that week, God comforted me with verses like from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fire, it did not destroy them, it did not damage them. Your daughter will not be destroyed or damaged. She'll become a strong woman of faith. And then God also told me, you know, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That night in our house, it was Satan who entered in the lives of the robbers. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it abundantly. Do you know what happened after that is the Bible, I read in the Bible that your faith will go to the whole world. And I thought, how would that happen? But because our daughter and her friends were also raped, two of her friends, they gave their testimony in Faith Academy. The missionaries began to text people around the world to pray for us. And people were encouraged to see that we, by the strength of God, could go through it. And they felt encouraged they could do it too. But then, you know, our daughter also went on 700 Club to give her testimony, to let people know that no matter what's happened to you, we can live with a triumphant faith and we can be victors in Christ. And that night, more people called to receive Christ, the 700 Club, and they had previously called in to receive Christ. Praise the Lord. You see, when we entrust everything to God, he makes it a blessing, not only for our good, but for the good of others. And then she wrote a book. It was hard for her to write because she has to revisit her tragedy, her rape. But the book is When a Good God Allows Rape. You know why she wrote it? She wants people who are in pain and trouble to know that there is always hope in God. All who hope in him will never be disappointed. And today she's a mother of 6 kids. She has no trauma. She's a great counselor for those who are abused. So I just want to say that whatever you're going through, have a but if not faith, because God keeps his promises to use it for good in your life.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, it has not been easy for us, but I realize our security is the presence of God. When Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego went through the fire, they were not alone. Who was walking with them? Jesus. And the Bible says, this is the victory, the presence of Christ, our faith in Christ. Question, is that the kind of faith you have? You see, that faith comes from God. So I want us, as we close, what's the message today? What is our faith? But if not, can you honestly say today, but if not, I will still trust Him? You need to develop that faith from God. Don't be shallow. Don't have commercial faith. Real faith in who God is. Authentic. Centered on who God is, on who Jesus is. And what is T? Triumphant. It is always triumphant. You will never regret trusting God. Let's bow our heads. If God has spoken to you, and you want to have the faith that overcomes the world, you say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Wherever you are, you pray between you and God today, just you and God, as you stand up and say, Lord, here I am. I put my trust in you completely. No matter what, I will trust you because you are a good God. You are faithful. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this group of men and women who are making a decision for you today to really surrender their lives, to surrender their faith completely. Will you embrace them? Whatever pain they are going through right now, perhaps some of us are going through fire. We're going through water. We're going through adversities. But Lord, I thank you because you have promised us even the fire will not harm us. Even the water will not overflow because you are in our presence. You are in our midst. We will surely come out victorious. I now pray for everybody here that we will learn to trust you and wait upon you and wait for the best is yet to come. Help us to grow in this kind of faith. But if not, we still love you, we still serve you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.